11 minutes before the hour on this Monday, the 19th day of December 2011. I'm Jeff Seifert for Raven News. It could be a record year, at least in volume, for the Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery. A forecast released Thursday afternoon predicts the biggest harvest ever at 29,008 tons. That number is called the Guideline Harvest Level, or GHL, and this year's number is a big change from last year's. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game says the jump is partly because of errors in determining how old the herring are, which led to under-forecasting. Sitka's local tribal government, meanwhile, called the preliminary GHL number, quote, irresponsible, unquote. Coast Alaska, that is KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
Last year's GHL was around 19,400 tons. This year, the forecast amount is about 29,000 tons. The 10,000-ton increase is partly due to Fish and Game correcting an error in the way it determined the age of the herring. Dave Gordon is the commercial fisheries area management biologist for Sitka. He says herring are aged by looking at their scales.
So the scales are taken from the herring, and this is actually done in a lab in Juneau, mounted on a slide, and then using microfish type of equipment, they blow that scale up onto a screen.
Once the scale is magnified, the scientists can count lines in it, almost like rings in a tree trunk. Almost.
Not quite as simple as a tree where you just simply count the rings and say the tree is this old. On scales, you have a number of growth rings in a given year, but due to the seasonality changes of growth that a herring experiences, you get these what they call annulus or check marks, where you note that change in the basically the distance between the different growth rings.
Count the annulus, know the age, but they're easy to misread. And as a result, Gordon says Fish and Game had incorrect data from 1999 until 2010.
Since that experience, we certainly have become a lot more rigorous in setting a criteria as to what would be called an annulus. If an ager has a question about a particular, you know, what he might think is an annulus, he's supposed to involve other readers to, you know, help and determine whether to call it annulus or not.
Now, before we go any further, know this. The model used to create the forecast is complicated, and it includes many factors, everything from abundance to survival rates to maturation rates to age. But basically, if one of those variables is off, in this case, age, you get a different result. Gordon says the result of the incorrect data was that scientists were underestimating the biomass and therefore setting a lower GHL. In fact, last year they used a different model altogether because they caught the incorrect ages in time. He says the jump, then, from 19,400 tons last year to about 29,000 tons this year is the result of putting the bar back where it should be. But not everyone agrees with that assessment.
Personal reaction, I was flabbergasted.
That's Jeff Feldpouch, resource director for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska.
I think it's safe to say that we have grave concerns over a 30% increase over last year's GHL to bring this year in at 58 million pounds of herring. And I think it's safe to say that we feel it would be irresponsible to harvest the entire GHL.
The tribe has long expressed concerns over the commercial fishery, namely that the herring are being overfished. Southeast natives harvest herring roe on hemlock branches as a traditional food.
We look back at historic levels from the late 1800s, early 1900s. Herring populated all of Southeast, enough so that there are remnants of herring reduction plants up and down Chatham Strait, but there's no herring there anymore, at least viable stocks to subsist on or commercially fish.
The tribe's herring committee brought forth a proposal to establish a subsistence-only zone along Sitka's road system. It failed to get the recommendation of a local advisory committee, but will still proceed to the Board of Fish for consideration in February. Meanwhile, the preliminary GHL of 29,000 tons is not set in stone. Winter test fisheries will take place in January, and a final forecast will be announced in late February. Gordon says the number can sometimes change by as much as 10%. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The Sitka Community Development Corporation is trying to rebuild momentum for affordable housing in town. The organization is also working on ideas to ensure its own sustainability. Robert Woolsey reports.
Board Chair Greg Reynolds says the SCDC has been surviving off of its savings lately and has been exploring ways to generate some revenue. He asked the Sawmill Cove Board of Directors recently if there was land available at the park for a materials reuse center, sort of a YD for builders.
And it just seemed like an idea that would, Sitka being a world-class garage sale town, that people would take, would make use of the reuse center. There's lots of building materials that get shipped out in the garbage stream.
Reynolds says there will be no retail storefront, just a couple of shipping containers at first, possibly covered by a roof and surrounded by a fence. Reynolds is a builder himself. He says there's a broad spectrum of stuff leaving town that, with some screening, could be put to good use.
Whatever people want to get rid of, some contractors take a large amount of material down to the transfer station and just throw it away. So whatever we can get, 2x4s, plywood, some people buy extra, have extra things. We're hoping individuals too. I've got a pile of things that could be sold in a reuse center in my basement I've been saving. And I talk to people, they say, oh yeah, I've got boxes of nails, I've got this and that, I've got this old window we could donate. So we'll look far and wide.
Reynolds thinks that ultimately the materials reuse center may support a halftime position. The SCDC has not made any formal agreement yet with Sawmill Cove. Park staff is preparing proposals for a couple of sites that might suit the project. And until that halftime position is created, the person you might see working at a future materials reuse center is Assemblymember Mim McConnell. McConnell serves as the unpaid director of the SCDC. The SCDC was formed in 2006 as community leaders developed strategies to address the growing gap between average incomes and the cost of housing. After a planned development on the old city shops land failed to win federal tax credits a few years ago, that effort flagged. Now McConnell and the SCDC are on a new tack, community land trusts, or CLTs.
It brings down the cost of buying a home because they don't have to pay for the land that the house is sitting on. And in Sitka, that's a huge deal because as everyone knows, I would think, that's looked around, the land prices are just so high here. And we've just seen that at the assembly table.
McConnell is referring to the recent auction of 9 lots in the new Jacob Circle subdivision in the Benchlands, with starting prices ranging from $99,000 to $164,000. No bidders showed up. Community land trusts are widespread in the lower 48. McConnell says the model has been used in retirement communities and in other settings where housing is the primary goal rather than, say, building retirement savings. Community land trusts operate outside of normal market forces.
It's an effective tool to help people get a home of their own. And they can sell it again, but it is tied to the medium income in town. And you could never speculate on a house like this. You're not allowed to do that.
McConnell attended a national CLT conference in Seattle earlier this fall and says she learned a lot. The SCDC is exploring a number of possibilities around town. A community land trust can be built from scratch on donated land, or it can purchase existing homes and convert them into a trust. Board Chair Reynolds says it's all about closing the gap between what regular people in Sitka can pay and what they can afford.
The ratio of median income to starter home price used to be about 1-2 or 1-3. It's now 1-6. We're trying to bring that down to 1-3.
Reynolds says the SCDC is planning to hold some community forums on the issue in the new year. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
An associate of a former fisheries aide is now himself in trouble for a similar violation, false reporting of sablefish or black cod catches from the Gulf of Alaska. Matt Miller has this report.
Charges against Freddie Joe Hankins were filed on Halloween for making a false statement and a false record of fish sold in interstate commerce. Federal fisheries investigators allege that sometime around September of 2006, Hankins harvested about 6,300 pounds of black cod that were counted toward his individual fishing quota for the central Gulf of Alaska area, when the fish was actually caught in the western Yakutat area. That fish allegedly had an ex-vessel value of over $32,000 and was eventually transported across state lines from where it was landed in Yakutat to Seattle. Charging documents say the 46-year-old Hankins of Cove, Oregon, operated the Petersburg-based fishing vessel Camelar. The navigational computer indicated the Camelar fished in the West Yakutat area, while the logbook and IFQ landing reports showed the fish was caught in the Central Gulf. Investigators also allege three other incidents in April and May of 2007 in which Hankins allegedly falsely reported more black cod catches. Over 59,600 pounds of black cod worth nearly $224,000 was reported as being caught in the Central Gulf when it was actually caught off of Yakutat, although it appears that Hankins is only being charged for the September 2006 landing. Investigators also say that they interviewed Hankins in July of 2009, and he told them that the IFQ program did not consider historic fishing grounds when an arbitrary line was drawn. Hankins allegedly said, "The fish don't give a damn where the line is." The charging documents do not specifically name Arne Fuglevog, the former North Pacific Fishery Management Council member and U.S. Senate fisheries aide, but they do name his company, Camelar Incorporated, that at one point featured Fuglevog as half owner. State business records indicate that Cynthia Fuglevog became full owner of the company sometime before April of 2007. Arne Fuglevog faces sentencing February 7th for a similar falsification of catch records in 2005. He'll likely be sentenced to 10 months in prison, pay a $50,000 fine, and ordered to give $100,000 to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation for species and habitat restoration. Hankins was ordered to put up $5,000 unsecured bond and surrender his passport. His next court hearing in U.S. District Court in Anchorage is December 20th. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Weather forecast for Sitka and vicinity. Rain showers developing by this afternoon, mainly over southern areas. Highs around 40 degrees. East winds to 10 miles per hour, becoming west in the afternoon. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. It's 1 minute past the hour.